Hello and welcome to Media Mavens. This is episode 52. I'm Pam, and with me as always is Riley.
Hello.
Hey Riley, how you doing?
Good. Aside from being like kind of tired, I'm pretty good.
That's good. So today it's just the two of us again. We're going to talk about what we've been up to this week or in the last 2 weeks, and then take some questions. So I have a feeling this could be a short episode. What have you been up to recently?
Not a whole lot, honestly. I was trying to figure out why I haven't really been doing anything, and I think it's just because, first of all, the time change, like the hour forward or whatever, I wouldn't have said that it would bother me as much, but like the first day I was fine, like no problem. The second day I woke up like a half hour later than normal, and I was like, okay, that's weird. And then like throughout the entire day I was just so tired, and then by the time I got home I was exhausted, so I just like went and I laid on the couch and I fell asleep. So like the entire week has just been like a battle to stay awake. So I just have not really been doing a lot, which is kind of unfortunate. But the few things that I've done, I watched the first two or three episodes of Jessica Jones, because it's back on, the new season is on Netflix now. It's good to like have her back. I like her a lot, and it's like good seeing all of the characters again. And I'm not really sure about where this whole season is gonna go, because it seems like they're kind of tracking down like, you know, the root cause of why she's a super in the first place. So it looks like it's gonna be getting more into like the big themes, I guess, would be the best way to put it. And I mean, so far it's been good. I don't know, there's like semi spoiler, but I won't say, because there's a returning character. But other than that, I didn't make it very far into it, because I've been watching it with my boyfriend and I fall asleep after I get home, so we haven't been able to watch more than like two or three because I've just been so tired.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of it yet, but I will definitely check it out. I've heard it takes a while to get going. Like I did watch a review of the season. It said it took like 5 episodes, I think, before you even find out who the villain is.
Yeah, I can see that. Like right now, I'm pretty sure I'm 3 episodes in, but it's like the person that we thought was maybe the villain is not the villain. And it's like happened again, where it's like we track down somebody, but they're not actually the villain. So I don't know. It definitely like there's no clear enemy, I guess is the word to use for it. But I haven't thought it's been like super slow. The first episode maybe, because they kind of have to like get back into the rhythm of telling the story again, but other than that I think it's been pretty good. So
cool. So I watched John Wick last night, which was amazing, like one of the best action movies I've seen. I originally had been avoiding it sort of purposefully. The premise of the movie is that John Wick is like a retired assassin and some punks kill his dog and steal his car, and then he basically just kills everyone. So I always avoided it just because I don't want to see dogs die, and that's always very upsetting to me. So I didn't watch it for the longest time, and then Will and I were trying to think of a movie to watch yesterday, and this was on Netflix, so I was like, okay, well, let's give it a shot. And it was really good. It was, I'm trying to think of what makes it so great. I think part of it is that there's obviously a deeper lore behind it, but on the surface, it's just like guys steal from and kill this guy's dog. He gets revenge, but you see as you go along, there's like this secret league of assassins and they have all their own rules and things. Like John Wick goes to this hotel where you're not allowed to do any business. Like you're not allowed to carry out any assassinations in it. And if you do, you get in big trouble. Wow. And he's always running into other assassins from his past and things. So it was really cool. It had a really good cast. Keanu Reeves is really good. I always remember thinking him as being very kind of like blank, which I guess he still he kind of is, but he does such a good job as an action hero. It's actually kind of wanted me to go back and watch the first Matrix movie.
It's still good.
So yeah, it was really good. The action scenes were amazing. I guess their praise for being slightly more realistic than most action movies, but I really liked it. I'm still sad the dog died. The dog was like the cutest dog in the world. It was like a little beagle puppy. But it was good, and Will and I were both cheering. It was like, yeah, kill those fuckers.
Get them. They hurt your dog. They killed your dog.
Exactly. Yes. So that was good. And I'll probably have the second movie to report on for next episode.
He does all of the stunts too, right? Or he did do all the stunts?
I think so. That's yeah. Too. Yeah, they're really interesting stunts. Like it's not the kind of action you usually see. So it's really good. A really good soundtrack too. So. What else have you been doing?
Let's see. Last weekend, you and I went to see Annihilation, which was cool. I don't want to talk about it too much because, spoiler alert, we're going to do an episode on it. I hadn't read the book. I really didn't know, like, what to expect at all. And I got something that was really fucking weird, but really cool at the same time. I thought that it kind of, like, combined, like, this weird, like, surreal stuff with, like, actual regular people really well. And, like, super creepy, throughout the whole thing. Like, I felt like I was constantly wondering, like, what else they were going to find while they were in the Shimmer.
Yeah, it's like a constant sort of both anxiety and and also curiosity sort of feeling the whole way through.
Yeah, because it looks like when they go into the Shimmer in the first place, it's like, ooh, kind of like alien type world, but it's like the same but also not the same. Which is like things that make anything that can make a normal setting feel just off by like just a little bit, I think is really effective for like making somebody kind of afraid or like on edge.
Yeah,
and I think they did that really well. And also, I didn't like that bear creature. It scared me so much.
Yeah, that thing was scary. That was completely new to the movie.
Oh, really? Oh,
okay. Yeah. It was really creepy. I really like Alex Garland, who directed this. He also did Ex Machina too. And he did 28 Days Later. And there was another one, Sunshine. That's the other one. That's like a space horror one, which I really like.
Gotcha. That sounds familiar. I don't know if I've seen it or not, but I don't really want to say too much else about it and use up all of my ideas for the next time we talk about it. What else have you been up to? Because you've got more than me.
So I also, over the last couple weeks, have been rewatching Parks and Rec, which I thought you had seen, but you haven't.
No, I haven't.
You should watch it.
Is it on Netflix? Can I just watch it on there?
I don't think it's on Netflix. We're watching it on the Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay. I think we have that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'll have to check.
So it's about this parks director, Leslie Knope, who is like the biggest keener, just like wants to do good government work and make nice parks in her city of Pawnee, Indiana. And I loved this show basically since I first saw it. I've seen it multiple times, but I didn't realize until this time around that I have actually never seen the final season.
Oh.
So we were watching it and we got to the end of season 6. And I was like, okay, well, this is the finale, obviously, because they have this big, like, unity concert in the town and all these characters come back. And I was like, okay, well, this is the finale. But then that episode ended and then another episode started. I was like, what is going on? So there's a whole 7th season that I didn't even know existed.
Oh, no.
So now I'm, I think we have 2 episodes left. So... yeah, we've been watching Parks and Rec, and it's hilarious. I love Leslie and her husband, Ben, and I love Ron Swanson. yeah, it's just hilarious and ridiculous. One of the last episodes I watched, Leslie's husband, Ben, is running for some government position, and as his wife, they had this thing where the candidate's wife's always... took part in a pie baking contest, and Leslie didn't really want to make a pie, and so when she said she doesn't want to do that, then you get the press going, oh, are you saying women who are homemakers are stupid, or oh, no. Women shouldn't make pies? And she's like, oh god. And then she was like, okay, well, I'm not, maybe I will take part. And then the women's group comes in and they're like, why are you taking part in this misogynistic exercise? Oh, you shouldn't be doing this. And then Ben ends up baking his own pie and taking part in the contest. And then the men's rights activists come in and they're like, stop feminizing the men.
Oh my God.
it's like that a lot. It's very, it's very funny. So, yeah, I've been watching that. Almost done. It's one of the shows that we sort of cycle through 30-minute sitcoms to watch, like, before bed and stuff. So that's one of them. What else have you been up to?
Relating books and movies that I haven't read the books for, I actually bought the Wrinkle in Time series. Apparently it's a series. There's, like, 5 parts to it, but I bought them, like, all in one.
Mm-hmm.
So I read the first bit, and I'm so curious as to how they're going to make this into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, like, I don't know if they're planning on making more, because the first, like, part that I've read seems like it could be a movie on its own. And then the second part that I'm reading right now seems like it could be a movie on its own. So I'm like wondering if they're going to have more than one.
Hmm.
Or if they're going to try and cram it all into one movie. Which doesn't seem like it would be that good, because it would be like super long, but I don't know. But the first part I really enjoyed, where it's just like her father is missing. Meg's mm-hmm. father is missing, and her brother and her friend from school are like called by these like celestial beings to come help, and like they end up at this planet where like kind of like in Annihilation, where like things that seem like super normal are just off by a little bit to be kind of creepy. Because at this planet, it's like everyone does everything in unison and there's like nothing, like people don't do things for themselves, I guess is the right way to do it. Like they're walking down the street and it's presented as like on either side of the street, there are kids that are playing and like doing like with the jump rope, but the jump rope is going at the exact same time and the kids are jumping at the exact same time. And there's kids that are like bouncing balls, but they're all bouncing in time. Mm. And they get to the end of the street and there's like one kid who is bouncing it like out of order. And like their parent comes and like snatches them and brings them inside really quickly. And then later you see that kid like going through this, like what they call it, recalibration. And it sounds awful. And they're kind of like going through like trying to find out where her father is because he's supposed to be on this particular planet. But that part I thought was really creepy. And I think it'll be like it'll translate really well on film if that's actually something that they chose to use. But yeah, I've been enjoying it so far. It's like combines like space travel and like time travel, which are like I love that shit, so it's been really good so far.
Awesome. Yeah, the cast of the movie looks really good. It's one of those ones, like I haven't read A Wrinkle in Time, but it was kind of like, what was it, the His Dark Materials books?
Yeah.
Where they made the first one and I think it just didn't do very well, so they didn't make the later books into movies. But I felt the same way about specifically the second and third book, where I was like, how would you even put this in a movie?
Yeah, there's just so much. And like the ideas are so big that it's like, how do you put that into like a visual medium where people can't like think about it for themselves and have their own like, you know, idea of what's going on? Instead, you're showing them and it's like, oh, how?
Yeah, although I also felt the exact same way about Annihilation because that book is very like in your head, in the biologist's head. Like it's not specific events and things. It's more like feelings. Oh. And it's like, how do you put that on camera? Which I think they did a good job with sort of just taking the basic idea but leaving or making new events for it. But
yeah,
it's interesting how people choose to adapt.
Yeah.
So I've been playing a few things lately as well. I was on the lookout for a Switch game that I wanted to play because I had played Mario Odyssey and I didn't really like it. So I picked up Stardew Valley, which I don't know why. Like, I knew I wouldn't like it. Like, it's just, ever since it came out, I was like, that just looks like a chore game. I don't think it would be fun. But then the Switch is like, oh, I can use it handheld. I can, like, plant some crops while I'm in bed watching Parks and Rec or something.
Yeah.
But I still didn't like it.
Yeah, so I feel the same way about it, so.
Yeah, it's just like, I should have known, but I just really wanted to try, and I feel like the opposite that most people do. Like, people have said, people who I, you know, like and respect their opinions on games, they're like, oh, playing this makes me feel accomplished, and I feel the exact opposite. Like, I do not feel accomplished at all for my achievements in the game.
For me, it was like, everything is taking so long. I just want a big farm right now. I don't want to start from the beginning. And like, they're gonna do, I've heard that they're going to do co-op.
Yeah, where, I think, like, that's more soon.
More than one person can work on a farm, and I think that might be better, but I, for the most part, I was just like super bored.
Yeah, there wasn't much to do. It was really slow going, getting money to do anything. Like, I spent the first couple days just chopping weeds and trees in my farm. I don't know if that's what I was supposed to do. And I also found that it needed a map or a fast travel system. Like, it wasn't fun to go to walk to all the stores and things. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I tried, but that wasn't for me. So then I got Mario versus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. And this is one that I actually really like. So I started playing it handheld and I was like, it's okay because I just am not a handheld person. And then I played it on the TV with the Pro Controller and it got really good. So it's like a tactical combat game, sort of like XCOM, like a very, very basic version of XCOM.
Are they like bad guys? Like,
they're not bad. They're just kind of annoying, like an invasive species,
kind of.
So the rabbits have come to the Mushroom Kingdom or wherever they are. And you start out and you have Mario, like the real Mario. And then you have a rabid Luigi and a rabid Peach. And they're your characters. And they have these like ridiculous ranged weapons that they use. And they have to fight other rabbits and other monsters from the Mario series. And I really love the rabbids. I had heard people complain about them, that they were kind of annoying and things, but they are really funny. The Peach rabbit, when you lose a fight, the other characters just sort of sit there and look forlorn and sad that they've lost. Well, Peach storms off the screen and then throws her wig back onto it. Because she's basically just this little rabid creature with like a wig and a crown on. Oh, so so the rabbits are really, really cool and funny. But it just sort of brings to mind what I said about Mario Odyssey, where the characters from Mario aren't interesting in any way. Mm. Like, they're kind of creepy in how blank and vacant their faces are. So yeah, the rabbids really spice things up a bunch. What else for you?
I just remembered that last weekend I went to EGLX.
Oh yeah.
Which it's the Enthusiast Gaming Live Expo. And 2 years ago, I actually volunteered for it. And then this year, the venue was a lot bigger. Like, I would say that they doubled or tripled the space that they had easily. Hmm. And we went on, I think, the Sunday. And, like, the big thing was that there was, or the big thing, at least for Brian and I, was that there was a Hearthstone stop. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of the official like tournament legs, I guess. I have no idea how any of the Hearthstone tournament stuff works, just that there was one in Toronto. So like they had a setup on the side of the stage or side of the main stage that was like dedicated to Hearthstone, where the casters were. I think like the names that I remember are like Frodan and Firebat. Those are the two main casters that we watched. And then they had like a stop where you can sign up and get the special card back that's only available if you go to those events. Mm-hmm. So even though I don't play Hearthstone, I have a cool card back now.
That's cool.
And like for most people, I think for EGLX, they go for like the Smash Brothers tournaments and the fighting game tournaments. Mm-hmm. So we saw a little bit of that, and apparently there's like a Pokemon fighting game. It's like Pokken Tournament or Pokken Tournament or something. I don't know how it's pronounced, but it's Pokken Tournament. And you like your characters, like instead of using like, I don't know, like in Tekken or whatever, where you have like the people characters, you have like Pokemon.
Oh.
So, like, you actually, like, control the Pokemon and you, like, fight the Pokemon. and that actually seemed kind of cool, so I'm kind of curious about, like, how to play that game because I like Pokemon and I am not too into fighting games, but it's, like, Pokemon against Pokemon, so that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we were standing in line to get something to eat and there was this kid beside me who was, like, staring up at the screen and he was just, like, oh, go Pikachu! And then, like, every once in a while, he'd be like, oh, Pikachu, no. And he'd, like, look up and he'd be like, yeah, Pikachu! Like, it was the cutest thing. which is, this, like, this little dude, like, cheering on Pikachu. And there was... the way that they had the stage set up, it was, like a four-sided stage. So one side was Hearthstone, one side was this Pokken tournament, the other side was Super Smash Brothers, and the third side was Halo or something. That might be wrong, because it was like 1v1, not like a team game. So there was one more on the side. And they had like an artist alley area, like they do with most expos and stuff. And there was a ton of Overwatch stuff.
Yeah.
But I didn't buy any because like it was also a little bit expensive. But they're all like... like beautiful prints that people have done and like accessories like keychains and stuff like that. So I was like, oh man, I want it, but I don't want it at the same time. and they had like booths for, like, just commercial booths. So like there was a Nintendo booth there. A couple like VR companies were there. And you could play through like there's a Paranormal Activity VR game, which I was like, fuck no. because it looked really scary, and I was like, I'm not putting a VR headset on to play a scary game. I'm trying to think of what else we saw. There was a ton of cosplay, which was really cool. There was, like, so many Overwatch characters. Like, I saw a Tracer. There was a Brigitte already, even though she's not in the game. I saw a girl wearing, like, Mercy's Valkyrie helmet, which was so cool. Like, what other stuff they have? They had... So, when I saw these guys tweeting about it on Twitter, because I've been following them since I volunteered, and they said that they were going to have, like, a casual Overwatch tournament, and I was like, oh, shit, like... I want to see that. I went to the Overwatch area, but like, or what I thought was the Overwatch area. And I have no idea, if there was a tournament that happened or like where I could have seen it. Cause there was like, I couldn't find any information on it at all. And it was like in the free play area where you like go in, give them like a piece of ID to be able to play on their computers. And then that's, like, basically it. So I was like, I don't know. Because I was like, if there's a place to watch Overwatch, I'd want to do that. But there was, like, there was nothing. Huh. Which I was kind of surprised by, considering how big Overwatch seems to be. Unless it's just, like, my friend circle and that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was really strange because I was like, oh, I could, like, like, and the way that they worded it on their website was, like, you sign up and they'll match you with people if you don't have a team. And then it's, like, a casual, like, winner, the losers drop out or whatever, and the winners keep going. I don't know exactly how it was supposed to work because I never did find any more information on it. And they had, like, a huge area for Rocket League. There were tons of people playing Rocket League. There was, like, a big Halo area and, like, a bigger Hearthstone area as well where, like, you could just play against anyone. And then they had, like, huge screens on the back. They were doing, speedrunning, as well. So there was a ton going on, and we stayed for, like, maybe 4 or so hours, just because we didn't have anything specific that we wanted to see. And it was, like, super busy. Like, tons and tons and tons of people in there. But it was really good. And I was walking through, like, the artist area, and I had my Tracer jacket on. And there was a girl, so the girl that was dressed up like Brigitte, she was like, oh, hey, like, where did you get your jacket? I was like, oh, my friend got it for me from BlizzCon. And she was like, oh, cool. And then, like, we got into this discussion of, like, do you play Overwatch? And I was like, yeah, like, a lot. and then she asked me, like, if I play competitive. And I said, yeah, like, I'm gold right now. And she was like, oh, my gosh, you should come, like, play with us. And she, like, motioned to her, the two friends, like, the two other women that she was with, and, like, handed me a sticker for Ganymede's Girls, which is, like, a women's-only Overwatch community. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And so they were like, yeah, you just, like, go on the website and you fill out this application and somebody will be in touch to talk with you. And I was like, oh, my God. Awesome. I was trying to be, like, super cool. Like, oh, yeah, that sounds really good. But I was, inside I was like, this is fucking amazing. So I've, like, sent in an application. I haven't heard anything back from them. But I was like, oh, man. Because I'd seen the name, like, I don't know, a little while ago. Just, like, floating around on Twitter. So I already knew what the name was, but I didn't realize they had, like, a whole, like, community of people that were playing Overwatch together. So, and they're, like, all women or people that identify as women. And I was like, oh, man, yes. So I'm hoping that I hear back from them soon because it sounds really cool.
Yeah, that does sound cool. Yeah.
But other than that, we kind of just, like, walked around. There was, like, a booth, like, tons of food booths. So we got, like, some poutine. Had some really good fries. And then just...
Are there also panels and stuff?
Yes. I don't know which panels they had.
Okay.
Because <yeah. laughs> we didn't look into it at all. It was kind of a last minute decision to go.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, well, when can we go? Sunday. Okay, let's go Sunday. And then just kind of like figured it out from there. But there were panels. And compared to the last time that I was there, they actually had like a separate bigger area to do panels in. So I think they would have been good. I just didn't see any. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was crazy. I didn't realize how busy it was going to be. But it was like packed. Every seat was full for all of the games that were going on. It was crazy.
Yeah, I should go next year. I always sort of like see it and then I don't know, the date doesn't even sink in. But I saw a bunch of like YouTubers I know who were there and I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and they had like a big section of like old arcade games. Like they just bring in like the, I don't know what they're called, the stations or whatever.
Cabinets.
Yeah. There we go. So they brought in, like they have like tons of them and then they have like a whole section that is like just for retro games. And you can like sit down, you can like wait in line and sit down and play with other people, which is really cool. So yeah, it was really neat. And it's like, it's different than like the Comic-Cons that we have. Like Toronto Comic-Con is happening this weekend. And then Fan Expo, the bigger version of Toronto Comic-Con, happens like Labor Day weekend in September, August. And it's different than that because there's way more like actual gameplay happening. Like people are, I would say like 75% of the whole thing is people playing video games instead of, you know, like walking around and looking at stuff like in Comic-Con.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was definitely more about like being like a giant LAN basically.
Oh.
Yeah. It's really cool.
All right. So the last thing that I've been doing is I started replaying The Last of Us, which is the Cartridge Club Game of the Month for March. Have you played The Last of Us?
Yes.
Yes. I played it a few years ago, and I was kind of, like, a little hot and cold on it. Like, it took me a while to get to invested in Joel and Ellie, and I found some of the stealth pretty annoying. Because I don't know, I'm just not a very stealthy type of player.
I like the stealth on the other flip side.
Yeah, I like it better this time around. Mm. So I remember being really mad. I just did a part in Bill's Town where you're in the church and there's a bunch of clickers. And I remember the first time I did it, I was very frustrated because I had just gotten a shotgun. And I like ran up and shot a clicker in the head and then like six of them came running and killed me. And I was like, why would you give me a shotgun if I can't even use it? This game's stupid. But this time I've been doing better with the stealth, and I've been using, like, the nail bombs and the Molotovs more. Those are really helpful, actually, with the clickers, because they distract and kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good when you get one with a Molotov, and then the other one's like, hey, what's that noise? And then they just run right into the fire.
Yeah, it's so good. And you're like,
ah-ha-ha. So I'm liking it more this time around, since I'm already sort of invested in the characters and I'm getting better at the stealth sections. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I really want to play Left Behind as well, because that was my favorite part of the whole game.
Yeah.
Last time.
Yeah, I don't think I have actually played, like, to the end. Or played the Left Behind DLC myself. I have watched Brian play, like, the end of Last of Us, so I know how it ends. Like, the part from, like, where I've stopped playing to the end, like, I've seen it all.
Yeah.
And then the Left Behind DLC, I've seen most of it. I haven't seen all of it, but, yeah. I should actually play that myself now that I think about it. I think we still have it around.
Yeah. It's good, and I really like how well paced it is, and the sort of more cinematic moments, like in the introduction, for example, when you're playing as Joel's daughter and you're walking around the house, and it just does such a good job of making sure you see what you need to see, like something on the television before it turns off, or a newspaper clipping or something. I just think it's really good how they sort of work the camera to make sure that you're seeing everything you need to see while still technically being in control of the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought they did a good job with that. That's it for me this week. Anything else for you? More Overwatch League?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's, like, the other reason why I don't do anything else is because I'm just watching Overwatch. Mm-hmm. This week's matches have been excellent, though. Like, Wednesday, easily the best match of the night and maybe even of the week so far is the New York versus Seoul. It was just, like, so fast paced, and like, watching the two Tracer players on each team, like Sabiolbi for New York and Munchkin in this case for Seoul Dynasty, like, they are so fast, and, like, so good at, like, flanking and getting around the teams and, like, taking out, like, one important person and then just, like, disappearing. like, so good. Even like, watching their healers, like, Ark was playing Anna for quite a few of the matches. And he, like, landed this amazing, like, sleep dart from, like, across. So, you know the final point on Hanamura? He was, like, behind that point, and Seoul's DPS player, Fleta, was up on the high ground as Soldier, like, directly across from, like, where the point is. And he used his tactical visor, and Ark slept him from across the room. Like, while other shit was going on. So, like, there were tons of plays that were just like, I can't believe he did that. And, like, the Zenyatta player, Ryu Jaehong on Seoul Dynasty, killed New York's Genji player, Libero, like, twice, like, two out of three times where he was blading and, like, going for the Zenyatta player. So he would just, like, he killed him the first time, and I was like, oh my god, I can't believe he did that. This he did it the second time, and I was like, oh my god. Like, it was just, oh, there were so many, like, good, like, high level plays in that game that I was just, it was just so good. And I was like, there's no way that, like, any other game can follow up and be as good. And then, like, Thursday hit, and Houston and LA had an amazing series where Los Angeles, I'm pretty sure they reverse swept. I would double check and make sure. No, okay, so, but it was really close. So Houston won the first game, where they were basically tied, and then Houston got the last point and won the first match. And then Los Angeles won the next two and shut out Houston and full held them on King's Row, which is supposed to
Oh,
kind of
wow.
be, yeah, it's supposed to kind of be like Houston's map, especially when they bring in Spree, their Azaria player. And they full held them on that map. And then Houston 3-0'd them the next game. And then the final game, LA, so they went to game five, and then LA ended up taking them 2-0. So it was like, ugh, like that was another good match. And then Friday, LA versus Boston was also very good. And then today is Seoul versus London, for the first match at 4 o'clock, which is gonna be awesome. Like this whole week has just been like incredible Overwatch. So I would say like if you're looking for any like good matches to watch, easily from Wednesday, Seoul versus New York, and then Thursday, Houston versus LA, and then Friday, the other LA team versus Boston. And then today's, I'm assuming Seoul versus London is going to be really good. I think also San Francisco versus Houston is going to be really good. And then the last match of the week is Dallas versus Philadelphia, which, given how Dallas has been performing lately, I feel like Philadelphia might take the win from them, but we'll see. We'll see. But this week has just been like excellent Overwatch, like so good.
Has Shanghai won a game yet?
No.
Oh.
But they've taken a few maps. Oh, and
Oh, that's
like
good.
one of the cool things that happened was like last week, Florida also won. I think they won a map. Florida. Yeah, Florida. They won against the Dallas Fuel. So like they haven't been doing as well lately either, but they're doing much better. And like they brought in a new player, Zappis, I think. And like he wasn't in the match that they won, but you know, it seems like their play has just been getting so much better. And they have a clip on their Twitter, I think, of like their comms when they're talking in the match. And they're the first team that I have been able to understand exactly what they're going to be doing instead of like the entire like team screaming like monkey, 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 like just going after. Like they're the first team that's been like, okay, I'm going to beat on the stairs, which is Lucio's ultimate. So they're like, I'm going to beat on the stairs in three and I'll do a countdown. And they're like, okay. And then it's like 3, 2, 1, the beat happens, and they're like, they say like, okay, we're going around to the left, and then one of their healers is like, peel, 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 because they're being attacked, and the tanks come back and they peel for him, and then they go back onto the point. And I was like, I understood exactly what happened in that clip because of what they were saying, and I could follow it easily, and like their communication is really good. So if their communication is like that all the time, then I'm just like, I'm so impressed. Oh, they also won. They won against the Valiant this week. They won against one of the LA teams. So, yeah, they've been doing so good. And Shanghai is supposed to be getting their new players, Ado and Fearless, I think, are coming by the end of the month. Their visa appointments are like this or next week. And then I think Yaguri will be in. B-b-b-b. Definitely by the end of the month, and then they said they'll probably be playing in stage three. So we probably won't see their new players in this stage, but definitely in stage three. And then that's also when one of the casters, Doa, has predicted that they'll get their first win is the first match of stage three, and that's when they play Dallas. So it's gonna be really
Oh.
interesting. Oh man, it's gonna be so good. Like, I can't wait.
Yeah, I want to see those new Shanghai players, and yeah, I haven't watched any Overwatch League since our episode on it, so I've just been listening to Sabriel. Actually,
Oh, yeah.
the thing I mentioned last week to P1's question about Overwatch podcasts. This isn't a podcast, but Sabriel does Pulse Bomb Ready, which is on YouTube as well as just in an audio format, I believe. So I think you can, it's like a podcast you can download. And it's just like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, but it's every day. So any sort of Overwatch League news coverage. So
and there's been a lot.
Yeah.
Lots of, like, super drama. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So I guess that's it for what we've been doing. Mm-hmm. And we can move on to listener questions.
The first question that we have is from the Doc Web, who asks a question about the Ready Player One posters. And he's asking, how are the Ready Player One posters allowed to be so bad?
I don't know what they were trying to do here. Like, this guy's face looks weird.
It does.
I don't know if it's supposed to look weird. Like, a lot of them just look like really bad Photoshops. Yeah. Like, the Matrix one in particular. It's like, what are you doing?
Like,
and
the worst
why? So yeah, I think the Matrix one is, from an artistic standpoint, the worst. But I got really mad when I saw him as David Bowie from Labyrinth, and also the one where he's Steve McQueen from Bullet. I was like, get out of here with that. What are you doing? I don't know. I don't have, like, I have made fun of Ready Player One a little bit. I read the book, like...
Yeah, I've read it as well.
Years ago, and I was fine with it. Like, it was entertaining. It was just like, hey, do you remember this Monty Python movie? I'm like, yeah, I do remember that Monty Python movie. Haha, that was funny. Like,
do you remember Back to the Future? It's also here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Have you seen, there's a clip on Twitter of someone who's like, oh, I can finally release my theme song for Ready Player One. And she's like, remember Han Solo? Remember Star Wars? Remember Indiana Jones? It's just like constant, like, do you remember this stuff? Oh, God.
Yeah. His name is Electro Lemon. It's
so
really
funny.
Yeah. So that seems like what the posters were trying to do. They're just pretty, pretty bad looking.
Yeah. They're just not good. I don't I don't know. I don't know why, like, I feel like you could have done this concept, like, take away so much stuff that the book puts in, and just, like, you could have done it in a really cooler way. Like, a virtual world that people go to. You could, like, it could have been, like, Snow Crash or whatever, that, like, where people go to, like, the virtual world and, like, actually do other stuff. Like, I feel like there's way more to be explored than what is presented in the Ready Player One material, and it could be done, like, way better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's just so disappointing. Like, I don't know. It's just so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Apparently the movie's not terrible. Like, the first reviews are
really
I'm
surprised.
I'm kind of surprised too, but it's I don't know, it just seems like a lot. I remember even watching the trailers and, like, Tracer's in there. It's just like...
Apparently Commander Shepard is in that same scene.
Oh, really?
I was like, but why?
I actually didn't pay that much attention to the trailers. Like, people are like, oh, I saw this person, this person, this person. I was like, I guess I wasn't watching it. My eyes were open, but I...
Yeah. There was just, there are too many. That's the problem, is that there are too many. It's just like...
Yeah.
And you're just overwhelmed by all of the references.
Yeah.
And, like, if you don't get a reference, people are like, how could you not know that? Like, come on.
Ugh. Yeah. All right, so the next question is from Orkchop, and it is, what do you think of the Dynasty Spotify?
It's great.
What's on it?
So much K-pop.
No.
So I don't think any other teams have done it so far, but Seoul Dynasty has put out a playlist of, like, what their players listen to, either when they play or, like, when they're just, like, whenever. And
they're slowly putting out more, like, player-tailored playlists. So, like, so far, Toby, his playlist is out. And it's, like, between, like, his and the team's playlist, it's, like, a pretty good set of music. Like, it was funny when I first saw it, I was like, oh, man, this is exactly the kind of music that I listen to. It's, like, super chill, like, K-pop, and then also, like, the poppier K-pop, and then there's also just, like, regular pop songs. There's, like, a bunch of songs from the Black Panther album, and then, like, other, like, R&B and hip-hop, and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, so I've been listening to those two playlists, like, pretty much nonstop. They're just so good.
Awesome. Yeah, I haven't listened to it. I have used Spotify for the first time when our podcast went up there to check that it was actually up there, and that was it.
That's funny. Yeah, I use Spotify, like, all the time. Like, that's where I listen to my music, really, so. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't listen to a whole lot of music. I don't know. I'm with games and shows and movies. It's like, yeah, I always want to be, like, playing the new thing and doing lots of stuff. And with music, it's like, did I like this when I was in high school? No, I'm not interested.
No, then no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next question is also a little bit about Overwatch. Orkchop asks, can we talk about Overwatch League caster fashion?
No. Maybe. I don't know.
It's who? Maddie, when we had her on last time, so if you listened to the last episode, Maddie at the compete.kotaku website actually talked to somebody from, like, the other side of Kotaku who doesn't do, what's her last name? Gita.
Gita Jackson?
Gita Jackson, yeah. So she talked to Gita about the Overwatch caster fashion. Fuck, why keep trying to say, like, faction? Fashion. Overwatch caster fashion. And they actually, like, wrote an article on their fashion. So they're...
Okay.
Yeah. So there's an article about it. I agree with most of it. The caster fashion I find to be kind of disappointing. The only person who is, like, consistently dressed well and looks amazing is Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she always looks amazing. And then, like, contrast that with, like, Mr. X, who is, like, wearing a sweater. I don't know if they have, like, stylists who pick out the clothes for these guys or if they pick out the clothes themselves, but Mr. X needs some help. Somebody help him. Because he wears, like, the same, like, pastel pink, like, sweater, just, like, the plainest sweater ever. It's not even, like, a hoodie. It's, like, doesn't even have, like, a zipper or anything on it. It's just, like, this plain pale pink sweater, and I hate it. Every time I see it, I'm like, did you just roll out of bed and, like, decide, oh, I'm gonna cast some Overwatch today? Like, he just does not look as dressed up as all of the other guys and Zoe. Like, I'm like, I don't know. I just want someone to help him. Give him a jacket or something. I just, like, please. And then, like, who else is usually pretty well dressed? Uber is usually pretty well dressed. He knows how to use accessories, which is nice. What's his name? Puckett. Chris Puckett always looks really good. Malik always looks really good. Like, there are some people who look great and they dress well, and then there are some people who just do not. And I'm sorry, Mr. X, but you're one of them.
Oh, no.
But otherwise, I mean, they look okay. They don't look, like, super professional. Like, if you go to the Korean casters, like, they're wearing suit and tie. Like, they look, like, super professional. And, like, they also have, like, a woman caster with them, and she always looks really good. So I'm like, just take some tips from the Korean casters and you guys will be okay. I have way more opinions on this than I thought I would.
All right. Next question is from Sarah at Oh Sorry. Who is going to bite the dust in Infinity War, and who should bite the dust in Infinity War? Is someone, like, is that a thing? Someone's going to die?
I asked Brian about this because he read the book, but he couldn't remember.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure, like, Vision is going to either die or, like, be hurt super bad because he's got one of the Infinity Stones, like, in his head.
Who's Vision?
The purple guy. He, like, purpley-pink guy.
I have no idea who that is.
They made...
What is he from? Like, what comic?
Vision? Oh, okay. I don't actually know.
Has he been Jarvis. In other movies?
Like, Iron Man.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, he was made from Jarvis, I think.
Okay. The guy from... Yeah. Okay. The last movie with all the superheroes floated. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. He's the purple one with the yellow cape. And he's got the yellow stone in his head. So he's got an Infinity Stone in his head. So I'm pretty sure he's going to die because Thanos wants that. So, yeah.
I think Robert Downey Jr. cost too much. So he will bite the dust, Iron Man. I think just all of them should. Mm-hmm. But as much as I just watched movies with Mikey, he did a video on how to build a cinematic universe, mm-hmm. which was actually good. And he made some good points about how the MCU movies are actually getting better, like 30 movies in or whatever we are, which I actually agree with. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's too many of them. kill many of the superheroes. Yeah. So I actually like Iron Man. Like, I really liked the two of the Iron Man movies. Yeah. But I think he's had his time. I don't like Spider-Man at all, so he can go.
Oh, he's so good. The new Spider-Man is good.
I haven't seen him yet. I've just seen like 700 other Spider-Mans.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This Spider-Man, this iteration of Spider-Man is pretty good. I don't even know. Like, I feel like, you might be right about Iron Man. Also because he could have like a good like redemption arc by like sacrificing himself for some people, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? I don't really know. Like, even the guys from Guardians of the Galaxy are going to be there.
Yeah.
I don't see any of them dying. Maybe, like, Nebula or Gamora. But, like, only because they were, like, part of Thanos' family, with air quotes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think, I was reading today how Hawkeye isn't anywhere in any of the marketing.
Yeah.
So he might not even be in there.
Whatever.
Or he could die, whatever. Yeah. Hawkeye's not interesting, but he could bite the dust if he is actually in the movie.
Yeah. But he's got like a family. That'd be so bad. I don't know. So the next question is from the Doc Web, and he asks, what are your favorite non-horror games with creepy undertones or overtones? I just finished Night in the Woods at long last, and I was pleasantly surprised how well the personal story of May's return home meshed with the gradual build of more sinister things in Possum Springs.
The first one that came to mind is Gone Home.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Which is not at all a horror game, but, like, was very good at keeping me on edge mm-hmm. for the whole time. I just kept thinking, something bad's going to happen. I'm going to find a body, like, something.
Yeah, yeah. The Overlord DLC in Mass Effect 2.
Oh, yeah.
Although it was kind of, like, I don't know if that would classify as, like, non-horror, but the entire game, I would say, is not horror. And then to add in a DLC like that, I think. Plus, like, you don't really get the horror bit until the very end. So, like, the entire thing, you're like, something is going on here. Something bad is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that feeling kind of the whole time. I don't know what else.
I also think Firewatch, it does it in sort of the same way as Gone Home, where it adds this, like, mystery element where you kind of feel like you're in danger. But at the same time, it's definitely not a not a horror game.
That's a good one.
And I just thought of something else. This one's a little more on the line, but Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, which is one of my favorite games, where you play a vampire and it's a role-playing game. And for most of it, it's just like a paranormal action RPG. But there's this segment in it, the Ocean View Hotel, which is so creepy. It's haunted by ghosts, and like there's things poltergeisting around the room, and you keep seeing visions of this axe murderer and reading clips about how it's very, like, very much like the hotel from The Shining, where the man kills his family with an axe, and it's like one of the scariest things in games for me. But it's not, other than that, the game's not really very scary.
I think parts of Horizon also too, like the when you're going through the end and you see or you listen to all of the audio like mail that was sent back to their families, and you hear the original ones after you've listened to like the doctored ones, you're like, oh my gosh, like that
yeah
that is not good. Oh, and like as you get closer and closer to figuring out like what caused everything, it like it feels like kind of creepy.
Yeah, I think those are good ones. And then actually one more I'll say is in Batman Arkham Asylum, the scarecrow segments are really good and kind of scary. I also found even in the movie Arkham, whatever, Dark Knight, whatever, one of those. Okay. Dark Knight, I think. The first
Arkham whatever.
The first Nolan Batman movie.
Yeah, yeah.
The scarecrow scenes in that were also really scary. So it kind of takes on that.
Oh, like the judgment, like the court thing that he does? Am I thinking of a different movie?
With Cillian Murphy? I think he...
Yeah.
He does it a couple times where he just, like, drugs people, so everything is terrifying. Okay. So that they kind of do that in Arkham Asylum as well. He becomes this, like, giant with a, like, light on his head, and you have to sort of stealth around and not let him see you.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
Yeah. So the last question is from a Liger Wolf, and it is, what are your thoughts on anime art-style JRPGs? The likes of the Tales series, Mana, Kamiya, Artelenico, to name a few.
I like looking at them. I don't know if I've played a lot of that style, other than, like, visual novels.
Yeah, I haven't played too many either. I don't really like anime. I don't like how it looks or how it sounds or the voices or how many emotions everyone has. So it's not generally my thing. Like even Final Fantasy IX, which isn't totally anime, I don't know exactly what qualifies or not. I didn't play it for the longest time because I was like, oh, these graphics look so childish compared to like Final Fantasy 7 and 8, but it actually ended up being one of my favorite Final Fantasy games. So yeah, I haven't played too many of them. I tried Ni no Kuni, which is the one, the Miyazaki kind of art style. And everything was just so cute, like too cute. I couldn't handle it. So I haven't played too many of the anime art styled ones. I like the, I guess, more Western style.
Yeah. Like, the only one I can think of that comes to mind is that tactical one that I cannot remember the name of right now, but my brother played it for a while, and I think Brian has also played it, and I've watched it, and I like what that looks like, but I've never played it myself, and I honestly cannot remember the name of it.
What system is it on?
PlayStation, I'm pretty sure.
Like the first one?
No.
Is it like Valkyria Chronicles?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I can't remember who I saw playing it now, but I know that I have watched them play. I'm pretty sure it might be my brother. But he like called in like a giant tank or whatever, and like they all have names. Like, it's kind of like XCOM, where like you like have people that can do certain roles, and you like position them, and you can like control where they go, and like it's like XCOM, but it doesn't look like XCOM. I couldn't remember what the name of it was. Oh my gosh. Anyway, I like the look of that one, but I've never played it because I don't like that kind of gameplay. But I guess it doesn't count as like an RPG.
I mean, it's sort of an RPG. I haven't played any of the tactical JRPGs. I don't even know. Like, I like XCOM and Civ and stuff, but
yeah.
I haven't really played the RPG ones. And then the other one I can think of, I've played a little bit of Persona 3, which is pretty anime, and that just wasn't for me as well. Although, I also find that I used to really like JRPGs when I was, like, a teenager and in my early 20s, and now I find I don't have the patience for them. They just, like, they take a long time to get started, and there's a lot of sort of grindy combat. So now I feel like if it's not a JRPG I already played and liked, it's gonna be very difficult for me to like a new one.
Yeah.
So. All right. So that is all of our questions. Thank you, everyone who asked us questions. Riley, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Kaleri with underscore. It's K-A-L-E-R-I with an underscore.
And you can find me at Josyla underscore, or you can find my YouTube channel is called Cannot Be Tamed. And if you have any feedback or questions, you can reach out at MediaMavensCast@gmail.com or contact us on Twitter at _MediaMavens. We also have a forum for discussion of any of our episodes at cartridgeclub.org. And if you like the show, please leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.